integrative health info at its best. It's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science with Dr. Decker Weiss and Dr. Holly Lucille.
Skinny jeans, Rubik's Cube, leg warmers, gluten free. Is gluten free just another fad? Skinny jeans didn't do too for me. I was more of a Rubik's Cube guy, just for the record.
Is it just a fad?
Were you leg warmers?
What do you say?
I think you were leg warmers, Holly.
I was never leg warmers, no, but I am to this day still skinny jeans. I actually had a post the other day that said, warning. No, I said, I think that skinny jeans should come with a warning label. And it should say something like this: should only be worn at the weight you were when you bought them. Because that is one thing, that is one piece of clothing that just does not stretch.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. What are we talking about? Jeans?
We're talking about gluten. We are talking about fads, and we are talking about gluten-free. I get a lot of people asking me about this. Is gluten-free just the latest thing like the health industry is trying to do to hawk products, or is this a real issue? Is it a medical? I mean, we got both sides of the fence. This is a medical play, gluten on one end, and then we have, this is all fake, and regular bread's fine, and it's not an issue on the other end. Fad, whatever. I don't think it's a fad. What do you think?
No, not at all. I'll just say absolutely not at all. However, as we always do, we've got to tease apart all of the parts of our brain that that we use, because I think people do get into fads and it's like, hey, gluten-free, and they think that, oh, these cookies are gluten-free, I'm gluten-free. But listen, a bag of gluten-free cookies is still a bag of cookies, and it's not that's not where we want people to go with this. But here's what I want people to understand about gluten and why I say, first of all, it's not just for folks with celiac disease, okay? And it's a very, very devastating diagnosis and illness called celiac disease, where you certainly cannot digest this protein found in gluten at all. There's difference between allergies, there's difference between food sensitivities, and there's certainly difference between somebody who has celiac disease. But let's talk about what gluten is. It's actually a unique little protein, okay? It's found in things like wheat, rye, barley, and it sort of provides the like viscoelastic properties that makes wheat so attractive to bakers and pizza makers and pastry chefs and all the processed food conglomerates, okay? It gives food the bounce and the chewiness and the bite that many of the traits we've come to love in our baked foods. That's why, that's what it does. But there's another very interesting property about gluten, and this is upon digestion, all right? Because this is, you know, and I'll go back to the saying, you got to heal the whole, and you got to keep the whole really quote unquote whole, H-O-L-E mouth. Being W-H-O-L-E, because, and that's the hole that starts at your mouth and it ends down there, because upon digestion, this protein is basically broken up into small little protein fragments. And these protein fragments are hard to digest for most people. So they tend to stay intact as they travel the length of our intestines. And when an intact gluten fragment makes it to the intestinal wall, here's what it does. It triggers the release of something called zonulin. Okay, you don't need to remember that. But it's a biochemical messenger that at the end of the day, increases something called intestinal permeability. Okay, it does this by telling the gut doorways, and these are like these little tight junctions that basically become way too loose, which they line and protect our intestines, to open and allow molecules that are supposed to pass through into the bloodstream to do that. Normally,
you're talking about leaky gut, right?
That's right. So what happens over time, and get this, as I said, wheat's in everything. It is in everything. Our gut becomes so permeable. And therefore, this is what happens. Larger protein molecules, whether it's gluten or not, get into our bloodstream way too soon. Our immune system is meant to attack any foreign invader. And these larger protein molecules are foreign to our immune system. And so it mounts a response. And subsequently, we get all sorts of symptoms: inflammation, generalized to specific, painful joints, adult onset acne, fatigue, irritability, mood swings, insomnia, weight gain, you name it, because our guts are not WHOLE anymore. They are too permeable, and this is exactly what gluten does. And let me just say this. Sorry, I'm not giving you a chance, but I got to say one more thing.
You're doing great. No, I'm ready.
60 years ago, okay? when this grain, and if you go to other countries besides ours, was bred to be, it was bred to be shorter and stouter. Here, we only have this one strain of wheat in our country. It's called dwarf wheat. And it's produced denser clusters of wheat berries on the same amount of land. And of course, the agricultural nation did this because what that would do, it'd be increasing their yield and then therefore increasing their profits. But the other unexpected change from this dwarf wheat was the prevalence of the most allergic gluten protein fragment that there has ever been. And it's all we have in the United States.
Yeah, I'm going to take this a step further and say that I don't think you can recover in 2013. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but you know me, Holly, I'm going to roll with it. In 2013, I do not believe you can recover from a chronic disease without being gluten-free. And let me explain why. I do believe there's further downstream effects such as thyroid problems specifically and others from that actual particle that's in the bloodstream. But it's not just that. In order to fix any chronic disease, the gut is, as Holly's saying, it has to be perfect. It's the gut is how we absorb our nutrients into the bloodstream. It's how we collect our waste, put it to the bowl, and it's how our immune, two-thirds of our immune system. So let alone any autoimmune disease. I have these patients with rheumatoid arthritis come in, and they think they're going to recover from an autoimmune disease while eating gluten. But you're going to be irritating your immune system all day.
That's right. You don't have a chance. You know what? This is the most fascinating story. I've read a couple studies, but this happened in my practice. I had a person come in and I got to off the bat, like I know this was an early diagnosis, diagnose her with Hashimoto's. Well, actually it was Graves at the time because I saw what was going on. She was actually hyperthyroid, okay? Because we've got 4 months of stored T4 in our thyroid. So if we've got an autoimmune attack on it, you're going to release a lot of thyroid hormone and your body's going to go, woo, woo, woo. It's going to be hyper first. Right. But if the attacks because of the autoimmune condition are subsequent, then of course that leads to the Hashimoto's diagnosis. So I was able to, I said, you know what? I looked at her because I'll ease people into their recommendations when it comes to dietary changes, especially because I know change is hard. I know better than anybody. Change is very, very difficult. And so I'll do my best to make it as easy as possible. But I looked at her and I said, 60 days, gluten-free, not a nibble, not a crumb. And I told her why. I said, I think that we have a chance to save you from being on thyroid replacement therapy for the rest of your life. And I think we have a chance. Yes, we've caught it at the thyroid level, but we've got to heal the autoimmune condition. And that is in your gut. And she was compliant. And she, to this day, even though I knew this was happening because her antibodies were up, is not. She is clean. She is clear. And she does not have to carry around this diagnosis.
Now, look, there's a lot of questions out there. Medical doctors will say, well, congratulations and thank you for doing that with that patient because one less sick person is an absolutely spectacular thing. It's one thing that we want to be clear on is there's a gluten intolerance, which is a genetic condition. It's a celiac disease. What's happened with this strain of wheat that Holly's just telling us about is we've become gluten sensitive, which is different. Gluten sensitive, you're not going to immediately shut down like a celiac patient, but it's going to nag you and irritate and boom, you get these chronic serious things a little bit down the road. It's almost like we look at high blood pressure as a silent killer. To me, chronic gluten intake can be a silent killer like that as well. We're gluten-free in our house. My three-year-old only had very, very little gluten, and the exposure she has, it hasn't been good. So we also look at it as a precautionary principle. Why not? I love the gluten-free pasta. I love the gluten-free cookies. I'm enjoying them, so why not protect myself?
But last thing I want to say is simply focusing on avoiding gluten, I don't think is enough. When we talk about overall health, we've got to still make those diets full of healthful, nutritious whole foods, okay? Removing gluten is certainly one thing.
Mm-hmm. Industrial friendly for mass those whole foods. Production. Yes, it is. Gluten-free is the way to be. It's not just a fad. It is a foreign invader that can cause all sorts of problems. It's between sensitivity versus celiac disease. Precautionary principle. If you're not sure you have any kind of chronic disease, get the gluten out. I'll bet you get better. I'll bet you significantly improve. Radio MD. Stay well.